Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Behind the Binge podcast, and welcome back to another solo episode by yours truly, your host, Marissa. Today, we're starting with a question. How does food make you feel? Okay, when we're considering how food makes you feel, that's technically a question off of the advice to listen to your body. But what does it mean to listen to your body? You've likely heard me say, tune into how food makes you feel after eating it, but what does that actually mean? Sometimes it is very clear when something doesn't make you feel so good, like when you immediately have some sort of symptom following eating, like a stomach ache or heartburn, reflux, etc., right? Like those are the more direct and obvious unpleasant symptoms, but those actually aren't the majority of signals that we can use to best attune to our body and meet our needs. And I think the misconceptions here are why a lot of people write intuitive eating off as not being able to work for them, because they think if I listen to my body, I would eat candy and ice cream and pizza all day every day, because they recognize when I eat candy, I don't feel bad. Like I feel fine. It doesn't give me a stomach ache. It doesn't give me heartburn. But it's not that simple. It becomes simple over time, but initially tuning into these diverse signals from your body takes investigation and also understanding the variety of signals that you can receive from your body. For example, I was working with a client, and one of the things we were working on was improving her meal consistency. And this was because she was eating really sporadically and far apart, and basically she wasn't eating enough during the day, and then she ended up binging at night. And so by increasing her meal consistency and that regularity, her binges decreased, which was a huge win. But she felt confused because she thought when the binges subsided, she would get this newfound energy. She thought the binges were what were dragging her down in the middle of the day, but she was still feeling this drop in energy in the afternoon, even after she stopped binging. When there's a drop in energy, focus, motivation in the afternoon, this is usually a light bulb moment to add a snack between lunch and dinner. But she was doing that, and she still felt such an afternoon slump, even when having something just a few hours after lunch and just a few hours before dinner. We looked at if she was eating enough in general overall, and she was. But then coincidentally, it all made sense when she ran out of her usual afternoon snack. She was in this habit for a while of having tortilla chips as her afternoon snack. Nothing wrong with having some. They're so tasty and satisfying. I eat them probably multiple times a week. However, when she ran out of chips one day and she needed her snack, she made herself a piece of toast with peanut butter and banana on it instead. What she didn't really recognize until she bought a new bag of chips was that her snack, her usual snack of the tortilla chips, was contributing to this feeling where it was challenging to power through the rest of her workday. And she realized this because, in contrast, after eating the toast, she had stable energy and focus to tackle the rest of the day, and the snack sustained her longer. So together we reflected on the differences. Is it just the type of food? Like, what's going on? Why was there such a difference in her energy level when she switched her snack? In the end, she was able to recognize that the more quote-unquote complete snacks, the ones that are balanced with different food groups, are more beneficial for her best motivation and focus in the late afternoon of her workdays. This is part of eating intuitively, not just eating what sounds good in the moment without reflection. So prior to this realization, the tortilla chips didn't make her feel instantly bad per se. Like, she didn't get an unpleasant physical symptom following eating them, but they also didn't make her feel her best. Listening to your body is more than, does this make my stomach hurt? Your body sends you so many different signals that when you acknowledge and listen to them, they can give you answers to what will support you feeling the best that you can. So, with this client, the toast with the peanut butter and banana made her feel more energized, focused, and sustained her for a while, unlike the tortilla chips. She listened to these signals and intrinsically wanted that peanut butter toast with banana more often than she wanted the tortilla chips, because she knew what would make her feel her best. Note: her diet culture self would have wanted to eliminate tortilla chips altogether. Like, okay, these don't make me feel so great. Throw them in the trash. I'm never eating them again. But her intuitive eating self realized she was eating the chips for a reason, obviously, and she could meet her needs in more beneficial ways. It is not all or nothing. The chips were, are still allowed for her, but she enjoys them more when she eats them in a way that supports her body, like with a meal or more towards the end of the day when she's not relying on food to give her a push in energy and focus. So remember, sometimes it's not the food itself. It's not just the tortilla chips influencing how you feel, but rather the way in which it is consumed. Do you need to add something or shift a routine to make your meals or snacks more satisfying and more supportive? Even if it's a salad, right? We see that as a very nutrient-dense meal or snack. So you would assume that would give you a positive feeling when you're listening to your body. Oh, I eat a salad and I have this positive experience, these positive signals coming at me. But if you are under eating, you could feel a similar fatigue to the times in which you overeat. So if you feel fatigue after eating something, never discount that if you are not satisfied and full after eating, the fatigue is more likely from inadequate intake than it is about the food itself. Because I don't know, I don't think many people would say, oh, salads make me tired. However, not eating enough, maybe you need to add stuff to that salad, would make you tired. Another example of this comes from my own experience with my past restrict binge cycle. I used to avoid pizza because I thought it gave me gas, bloating, and heartburn. I just had all of this indigestion after eating pizza. Well, it wasn't the pizza, go figure. It was that I was so restricted from it that when I did allow it, I ate it all and I ate it fast. Having a few slices of pizza now with a healthy relationship with food doesn't impact me at all. It's pretty neutral. So this is all to say, when we recognize a signal from our body and we see that there may be a bit of a correlation between what, when, or how we're eating, it's about getting non-judgmentally curious to make a shift, not eliminate something altogether, because it's usually not that black and white. I also want to remind you that listening to your body includes your mind. Yes, your mind, your brain, it's part of your body. So intuitive eating includes logic. So besides listening to your body, if we go back to this client story, if this client recognized that eating a bag of chips wasn't the most nutritious snack, her recognizing this on its own, just considering nutrient composition, still allows an intuitive decision to be made. That's not necessarily restrictive or diet culture. From that realization or recognition, she may make a choice to diversify her snack options or explore what else she might be needing when all she's eating are these chips. She could even just reflect on what she could add to the snack to make it a little bit more well-rounded. Maybe she could add some guacamole, which adds fiber and fat, or a pre-made ceviche, or Texas caviar, which adds protein and fiber, or a bean dip. The list goes on, none of which removes tortilla chips entirely. It's adding more balance and more nutritional variety, which in turn will satisfy you longer with the added protein, fat, or fiber, help sustain your energy longer for that exact same reason, because adding fiber, fat, protein alongside the chips helps balance your blood sugar, and it adds some micronutrient variety with the added bonus of yum. Sounds delicious. But, now this is really important, so listen closely. Using logic and rational thought to make a choice to have or do something other than eat the chips is only intuitive if there is already a baseline of body trust and permission to eat the chips in general. Again, you can only use logic and rational thought intuitively if you are trusting your body with unconditional permission to eat. Unconditional permission to eat allows you to make choices, but if you're still trying to rely on rules or diets to dictate your food choices, then this won't really work long term. And you'll be trying to outsmart your body. It's a slippery slope. So make sure that you have a healthy relationship with food going strong. When you start to really lean into, oh, how can I utilize logic to make some gentle nutrition decisions? You have to let your body lead. In order to use logic to help guide your food choices, you have to be trusting and attuned to your body's cues. I'll say it again. You can't outsmart your body, meaning if you're hungry, but your brain is saying you shouldn't eat because you just ate an hour ago, that's not going to stop your body from being hungry. And honestly, that's just not logical in the first place, but diet culture can make it sound logical. So you're like, oh, I shouldn't eat. That's me using my brain. But if your body's saying you're hungry, you can't override that. You'll still end up eating, and trying to ignore that will likely just have you eating more. Also, if you're hungry and you're really wanting the tortilla chips, but your brain is saying, no, that's unhealthy, so you can't eat that, you're just gonna end up wanting them more and likely end up overeating on them anyway. Logic only helps you eat intuitively if you're attuned to your instinctive body cues and you don't doubt them. You listen to them. So obviously, saying listen to your body, how does food make you feel? It's very dynamic. So to wrap up, I'm going to list off different ways you may or may not be considering when tuning into how your body feels related to food or eating patterns. Listen to your body by considering your energy levels, focus, motivation, mood, water retention or swollen extremities, heavy eyes, headache, stomach ache, change in bowel movements, cramping, pain or relief of pain, memory, cognition, speech, thoughts around food, how your mouth feels, like your tongue and your cheeks, do they feel dry or do they feel fine, your teeth, bloating, heartburn, reflux, gas, tension or relaxation, etc., etc. So this combines physical feelings, your headspace, your mood, emotions, etc. Again, anything you might recognize in reflecting on these signals may or may not be related to food you're eating or how you're eating. A lot of symptoms and signs from your body can also come from how you feel about food, like your thoughts around food, and if those thoughts create guilt or shame, struggles with body image, stress, emotional events. Our brains are very powerful, and if you expect something will make you sick, that can be enough to cause it to make you sick. It's called psychosomatic symptoms, when your mind is powerful enough to actually create actual symptoms where if you weren't assuming it would make you sick, you wouldn't feel sick in the first place. The symptoms are very real, but it's about the mindset around the food, not the food itself. So make sure you aren't zooming in too closely to try to manipulate your food so that you can eat in some perfect way. A, perfect isn't possible, and B, that is diet culture in disguise. In summary, you can clearly listen to your body in a variety of ways. By using your body's cues as a guide and then having non-judgmental curiosity, you can honor your body with food choices and behaviors that support your overall well-being for the most part. Big emphasis on the for the most part language, because nothing is 100%. Flexibility and realistic expectations are part of your overall well-being too. There's nothing worse for you than stressing and obsessing over food. So listen to your body, but also listen to your heart. If something brings you joy and pleasure mentally, but maybe afterwards you don't feel so great physically, that's not a bad reason to make a choice to enjoy that food. Sometimes you will make choices just for those simple pleasures, for that joy, knowing that it may leave you feeling a little more tired or a little more bloated. It's kind of part of the social experience of life. But in other moments, you might feel like it's not in your best interest, which I should have realized when I had cheesecake before a race back in the day when I used to run like half marathons. I did not feel so great the next day. Anywho, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you're listening on Apple Podcasts, scroll down on the Behind the Binge profile and leave me a review. It is incredibly helpful in getting this podcast out to other people, and I super appreciate the reviews that we've gotten so far. I'm so glad that you guys are enjoying this podcast and finding it valuable. If you are looking for support with your relationship with food, if you want to be able to listen to your body confidently, instinctually, and intuitively, go ahead and go to the show notes and apply for private coaching. Myself and our associate RD, Livy, are ready to support you going into the new year so that you can have a happy, healthy, and food freedom new year. So click the link in the show notes. If you can't click the link, it is behindthebinge.com/private coaching. behindthebinge.com/private coaching. All right, I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day, evening, weekend, wherever you are, and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye, everyone.